Hey there, and welcome back to Arts Creative Hub with Jacqueline Coates, where I share loads of great information for artists. And if you're starting out, it's a great place to grab snack-sized, digestible chunks of info that's going to help you in your painting practice. So here we go. I'm doing part two about acrylic paints. I work with acrylic paints a lot with my students in my Blooms Art School, where I teach loads of online programs such as How to Paint Blooms and Blooms Masterclass program. And I also teach Blooms Painting Workshops in non-COVID times all around Australia, New Zealand, America, and in France, where I've got French Art School as well. So if you've heard my intro, you know that I'm a painter of 30 years and I've been teaching for 20 years. And acrylics are something that I fell in love with, then I fell in love with oils, and then I fell back in love with acrylics. And at the end of the day, acrylics are a fantastic addition to your studio practice, even if you love oils and other mediums, because they are so easy to work with in terms of they dry quickly, you can make corrections to your work easily, and in a short amount of time you can have your work out the door to your client if you like. So I talked about them in podcast number 3 in terms of how long do they take to dry and how to keep your paint moist so that they're easier to handle. In this podcast, I'm going to continue the story about acrylics, but we're going to talk about all sorts of questions that come up with my students and that they ask me, and I'm going to share the questions and the answers with you, and these bits of information might really help you with your practice too. Okay, so one of the first questions is, what is acrylic retarder medium? And why would you possibly want to use it? Well, usually I would use a gloss medium and varnish with my acrylic paint because it helps the paint to flow. And I feel that when I'm in flow, the paint moves around and I get great results and productivity. The paint looks great and there's not a lot of corrections to the paint itself to make. It looks great. However, sometimes you may not want your paint to dry so fast. So acrylic retarder is a substance that is added to water to slow the drying rate of the paint, allowing more time for blending and adding changes to the actual paint whilst it's wet. A common way to use acrylic retarder, which comes in a bottle, and there's several brands that make it. So if you just look up artist acrylic retarder online, you'll see lots of options come up. A common way to use it is to add 10 to 15% ratio to water in a spray mister bottle. Now, I personally don't use it at all. The way that I work, I tend to work pretty quickly. And I'm very much about being productive and getting great results and moving on to another painting. However, sometimes there might be a situation where you want to keep the paint open for longer. For example, when you're an oil painter, the paint doesn't dry immediately. Even in hot weather, it's still wet the next day. With acrylic, it's going to be touch dry in 10 to 15 minutes, 20 minutes max. And then, you know, once the paint's dead, it's got, you know, I like to say it's got rigor mortis, and like old boyfriends, you know, it's not coming back anytime soon. You can't reheat the old steak. It's no good the second time round. So the retarder, if you put it into a spray bottle, you can actually spray it over onto the areas of your painting. That you want to rework and keep it open and just keep adding to. So it will keep it open and it won't dry so quickly. But when I was establishing my online programs, I wanted to check out that the advice that I was giving was absolutely bang on correct. I mean, I've been a painter for 30 years, but, you know, what if I was giving information out, multiplying it and creating issues for people? So I actually sat down and talked with a paint technician and you know, got all of the things that I believe in ticked off the list to make sure it was absolutely right. And, you know, she works for a major, she's a globe-trotting paint technician working for a major global brand of excellent quality. So it was a paint company that does a lot of work in the lab and really explores the properties of paint. And what she said to me was that if the retarder, the acrylic retarder medium, is not applied evenly throughout the painting, you can end up with parts of the painting that dry more quickly than others, which can destabilize the painting and cause cracking and flaking of the paint. So I thought that was really interesting, because although you might have short-term relief from the fact that the painting's open longer, you could have long-term insecurity about your painting because it's possibly going to cause your paint itself in your artwork to destabilize, possibly causing cracking and flaking of the paint. And we sat there over a cup of tea and agreed it was better to paint faster and just make up your mind. But there are people who like to do a lot of detail, and it's probably different work to how I work. And that's absolutely fine, and that's what it's there for. It's there to help you to do that. No more than 10 to 15% ratio to the water, otherwise you will have issues with the paint. It's really important that you manage that ratio. Yeah, some artists really swear by it, so, you know, go for it. Okay, another question that comes up is, what's the fastest way to dry acrylic paint? Well, I have been known to dry a painting painted with acrylic paints under a hairdryer or in front of a gentle heater so that I can get it to dry off in, so that before I go to bed after I've cooked dinner for the kids, I can place a varnish on it, get it packed first up in the morning and out the door with the courier by 8 a.m. so it heads off to a client. When you're earning a living from your art, sometimes you've got to get those paintings out there and keep it up. You promise somebody a painting within 6 weeks, they're really excited, and you don't want to wait until they're not excited and they've given up on you. You want to make sure you get the painting out there in a good amount of time. And also, perhaps your mortgage is dependent upon being paid and making sure a few people have paid their paintings. And I don't like to take the payment until the painting is done. So, the fastest way to dry a painting, it's much better to dry a painting naturally. It's better not to force a painting to dry with applied heat, because it can make the paint on the surface dry faster, and it can, and as it shrinks, more quickly than the layer underneath, because we know that the paint dries in two ways. It dries on the surface first till it's touch dry, and then it dries in the strata underneath that connects with the surface that you've painted on. And that inside part just takes a bit longer. Ideally, you leave it for a week. Gentle ventilation is the best idea in a room that's not too cold. If the room's too cold, it will take a long time for the painting to cure. Okay, so let it settle. Let it have its moment to settle in. Your paint has not only got the pigment, it's got loads of little polymer spheres, and they need to coalesce together to form a firm skin. Not only a skin, but to solidify underneath the skin. So that would be my advice. I mean, I never had a problem doing that. My painting layers weren't too thick, which helped. When I did put it in front of a heater, but it's probably not the best thing to do for your painting. Better to wait for a week. I wouldn't do it now. Okay, so what is a color shift? Okay, so for a long time, oils were the king of painting. So often if you're out talking to somebody and somebody said, oh, do you paint? Oh, yes. What do you paint with? Oh, paint with acrylics. Oh, you paint with acrylics. Oh, oils are so much better. There's just a natural inbuilt snobism about oils because they've been around for centuries, right? And acrylics really came into being in the 40s and 50s. They were created in America. And I'll talk about that another time. But basically, they haven't been around for centuries like oils. So The other thing about acrylics is that when they dry, they don't look as brilliant and as bright as what they do when they're wet. So that means you do your painting, it looks sensational. You go off to have a cup of tea, you come back, the water has evaporated out of the paint has formed a skin, and it looks dull. And it looks a bit darker as well. Doesn't look as bright and light as it did when it was wet. So this is called a color shift. And all brands that make acrylic paint, even the top brands such as Golden or Liquitex, Gamblin, they all have the same issue that they, when they dry, there's a color shift. So you may have made decisions about your painting when the paint was wet, but when the paint has dried, things have shifted. So it's very hard to capture what you would like to because the paint changes. So what can you do? Okay, so there is one brand that has managed to crack the formula, and when the paint dries, it's just as brilliant as, almost as brilliant as when it is wet. It's an extremely minimal color shift between the two, wet and dry, and that is Winsor & Newton. So Winsor & Newton created a range of paint called Artist Acrylic Color Professional Paint, and I love their paints, I have to say. and they created the binder as being a clear resin. Now with every other paint that you buy that's acrylic, it will be a milky opaque binder medium, and when it's wet, and then it shifts when it's dry. But the Winsor & Newton one is clear, so that means that when you paint on your canvas, the light hits the canvas surface and it bounces straight back out again, thereby illuminating the paint particles, the pigment. This is how it was explained to me by my trusty paint technician all those years ago, and I just love the story. So, but I also found that the results, it was true. Okay, so whatever you do, if you have that sensation where your painting doesn't look as you want, don't panic. It definitely helps your color brilliance when an acrylic gloss medium is used with the paint. It adds a sheen to the paint and enhances the color, and sort of gives it the effect of a wet look. And also, when once the painting is totally dry, I like to also use a fast drying artist gloss varnish, one that has a terps cleanup or a white mineral spirit that you clean up your brushes with at the end of the painting process, so not a water-based one. And these are usually very fast drying. You put it on and basically 5-10 minutes later the whole thing's dry. It's pretty stinky, you've got to put it outside, you've got to use ventilation, but the effect is really great on your painting. It brings the color back to life, but don't put it on until the painting's had at least a few days to dry. A week if you can. Okay, I've also tried matte varnish. Okay, so when I mentioned that varnish before, it was a gloss varnish. Now I'm talking about matte varnish. I don't like this so much because it just doesn't really shift the painting back into its full life color. It just keeps it looking dead and flat. I had a student who came up and showed me her painting, and she said, "Oh, I really want to keep it matte." I said, okay, well, I'm just about to varnish a painting myself, but I'm going to do it gloss. So are you sure you don't want to do it gloss because it really brings out the color? She said, no. I prefer to do it matte. I really want it matte. That's what I'm after. I said, okay, I happen to have some here. Let's do an experiment. You put that on yours. I'll put it on mine. We had a painting each about the same size, and she did hers. I did mine, and it looked great at first. It looked beautiful. It was all wet, and then as the varnish dried, it went to matte, and we watched her painting go dull, and we watched mine look really colorful. She said, oh no, this is terrible. What should I do? I said, here you go. Here's the gloss varnish. Just put another layer on top. She did. It came back to life. It was fantastic. So just depends what sort of art you're doing, doesn't it, really? Because you may not want a sheen on it if you're doing artwork that has layers of lead pencil and you know, leaving some of the canvas bare and, you know, swipes of paint and things in an abstract way across it. It could be that you don't want a gloss varnish on it. You may just want a protective varnish, such as a matte varnish, to protect it, and that's perfect. But for the kind of work that I do, which is all about luscious, beautiful colour, capturing beautiful flowers and oversized flowers and things, and sometimes they're quite abstracted just because of the way that they're presented, it's really nice to have beautiful gloss over them. Looks great. Okay, so there you go. That's about the colour shift and then what to do about it if you want to bring it back to life like that. Or you can use a Winsor & Newton, which really doesn't have that problem. Okay, which brand of acrylic paint has almost no colour shift? I just talked about that. The Winsor & Newton Professional Artist Acrylic Colour Range. And they also have excellent pigments, which also really help. So those two things really make them lovely and bright. So can I use several paint brands together? So some people feel a bit guilty. They go out, buy the beautiful, expensive range, and they go, but I also like those cheap paints from the cheaper end of the rack, and I really can't resist. Well, you know what? That's absolutely fine. You can mix any paint ranges together from the acrylics range. That's absolutely fine. You know, the professional ranges will assume that you can mix those in between colours yourself, the pastel colours, those colours that are in betweeners, you know, an antique rose colour, a pale lemon yellow hue, a pale powder blue, an olive green. So they just give you the pure pigments in the tube. You know, they give you a great set that you can go and colour mix other colours from. But it is really nice to have those other colours on hand, and they don't cost very much in the student range. So why not? You can definitely put them alongside each other, and you can still use your beautiful, rich pigments and from the more expensive ranges alongside to really give it that oomph where you need it. So there you go. Yes, you can. How much coverage can I get from a tube of acrylic paint? Like, how far will a tube of paint take me? Now, sometimes those tubes are 60 mils and sometimes they're 75 mils. Lately, you can buy big sets of loads of colours, like 48 colours, 60 colours, and there might only be 22 mils each. So it's a great way to sample lots of colours and try them out for sure, especially if you're starting out. But for those of us who want to do paintings of a reasonable size and paint sort of frequently, we will want those 75 mil tubes of paint. So I was talking to a guy who owns a paint company a few weeks ago, and we were talking about paint, as you do, and he was saying that the thing about people buying paint is that you can buy a tube of paint, but it will probably take a long time to use it, because a 75 mil tube of paint will cover a whole square meter when you squeeze it out and spread it out. But you're unlikely to do loads of canvases in one color. That means you're only often using a little bit at a time. I thought that was a really great way to look at it. I know that I can take a full range of Winsor & Newton paints into a workshop. I can supplement it with some student colours, extra black and whites, extra of the colours that we use lots of, and I can still be taking those tubes of Winsor & Newton with me to another workshop, and I would say that we would have painted between us. If we've got 12 people painting two big canvases each, that would be 24 canvases plus mine, plus usually a few visiting students from my programs. Let's say we paint 30 canvases, so I'd probably get 60 canvases out of those tubes, but supplementing, replacing a few of the paints, and then also adding some student range, you know, easy mixed ones for supplements. So paint goes a long way, really does. It's actually not your paints that are expensive, it's your time, because your time is finite. You don't you can't replace your time, and there's only so much of it that you have spare. So it's not really about the paints being expensive. Your time is the most valuable component as an artist. So don't skimp on your paints. Treat yourself, because that time that you have with your painting is valuable, and you don't want to find that your painting doesn't look as luscious and beautiful as you would like it to. Right, so when can I apply a varnish to my acrylic paint? Following our chat earlier, it's best to be patient and wait for the paint to be fully dry and not force the drying process before applying a varnish, in order not to trap the moisture under the varnish. If you put varnish over your painting before it's dry, basically you're suffocating it. It can't breathe anymore. And you can actually create a situation where your paint goes cloudy because the moisture is trapped. So that will be incentive for you to just hold your horses and let the thing dry. So it will be worth the wait. Another question is, what surfaces can be used for acrylic paint? Acrylic paints are versatile. They can be applied to canvas, wood, glass, ceramics, fabric, cardboard, paper, leather, and as long as you've got a slight tooth, you don't even have to gesso it. Basically, you can paint acrylics on almost anything. Now, the other thing is, it's great to know that, because sometimes you can't always afford a canvas or loads of canvases, but you can get some boards cut, you know, some MDF board or some marine board, and you can whack some gesso on it and off you go, and it can be really cheap to work on those sorts of surfaces. And lovely if you're experimenting with your work. You don't always want to have a $20 or $30 canvas when you're having an experiment, for example. I love working on paper. And one of the things that makes the paper look fantastic, you know, of course you can, if you've got a lovely decal edge on a nice art paper, and you can take the painting right out to the edges, then you can frame it with space around it. That looks great. Another way to do it is that you can actually put masking tape and mask off the area within, and so you work inside that space. When the painting's dry, you peel the tape off, and then you've got a fantastic border. I even do that on canvas boards as well. It looks wonderful. Lots of on plein air paintings where I've got to work quickly, and I just put the tape on, paint into it, and last minute pull it off. It looks sensational. Just sign underneath, and it just looks great. I have also painted onto glass. And it looks really good. But of course, glass is more fragile and it can break. You can paint onto fabric, and you can make cushions too. Too much fun. So I talked a little bit about this earlier, but on my previous podcast, how safe are acrylics paints to use? Although people say they're non-toxic, they do have a few ingredients in them that aren't so good for you, like formaldehyde and other additions to inhibit mold growth, but not a huge amount of those kinds of ingredients in there. Any tubes on any kind of paint that have the word cadmium on, cadmium on the tube, then, you know, it's not going to be good to get it in your mouth. So just great rules for safety with your paint across the board include: wash your hands regularly. You know, if you've been painting and you're using sponges and paint, put a pair of protective gloves on. You know, just those disposable ones you get at the chemist. You buy a box of them. Latex gloves or whatever, really handy, and you just peel them off afterwards and the paint hasn't really gotten under your fingernails and things like that. Don't put your fingers in your mouth while you've got paint on them, whether it's wet or dry. And just be aware of what you're doing with the paint. So another question that comes up is, what styles can I use with acrylic paint? What can I do with acrylic paints? How versatile are they? Well, the great news is acrylic paints lend themselves to many styles. So they're wonderful to explore with. And I remember I did a lot of experimentation when I started out painting using acrylic paints. And what was wonderful about it was my experiments dried pretty quickly and I could work back into them as well. So you can get your acrylics to behave like watercolors by adding more water and by using watercolor style brushes on watercolor paper. So that's a really fun one. You can also create a dry brush technique when you scumble paint layers on top of dry paint layers to achieve a rich color buildup. So not using gloss mediums, not using water, using a dry brush and just using the tip of the brush and just getting that paint to catch on the surface of a layer that you've already done. That builds up a lovely richness. So you can imagine you've got a beautiful blue, you put a bit of lilac on it with the scumbling technique. That means the blue's still breaking through. You can still see the blue, but it's being broken by the violet or the lilac or whatever you're using. Just beautiful. Another way that you can work with your paints is to add impasto medium or gel medium to the paint to create texture. So if you're adding gel medium to the paint, you can still use a paintbrush for that and it will just give the appearance a bit like, you know, if you're using oils, it will just give you a bit of a track through the paint, a little sort of where the brush marks have been. If you want to go crazy and make it look like oil and pasto, it's super easy to do. I've done that lots of times, really good fun. You need to mix probably about a third paint, two-thirds impasto medium, and use a palette knife. And then whenever you're doing impasto, you need to be fairly confident and know where you're putting it because it's going to dry pretty quickly. The great thing about using oils for impasto is that you can it stays open for a lot longer. So the thing about the acrylic paints is they will dry quickly, so you need to know what you're doing if you're doing the impasto. You might just want a couple of accent marks or to build up layers, it's up to you. But have a play. A great way to not go through too much paint when you're doing experiments is to keep your experiments to about 20 centimeters square boards, and then you're not wasting too much paint and your mistakes aren't enlarged in front of you too much, and you can always paint over them and rework them with something else. Okay, you can combine acrylics with, you can add pastel on top, you can work with pencil on top, you can then spray it with hairspray to get it to set. You can glue stuff into it, buttons, lace, you can paint over it, all sorts. So that's really good fun too, making it a little bit more of a collage. And mixed media is really great. You can stencil with it really well because, you can get it to behave how you want by controlling the moisture in the brush. Great for stencils. You can build up the paint in thin glazes using acrylic gloss medium, layer on layer for a rich jewel-like color. You can also allow the paint to run and drip, splatter, and if you think of abstract works, quite often artists use this technique where they have painted some areas and they've let other paint areas drip and run. That's a super cool look as well. Really nice. And something that I played with a bit, I just had some loose pieces of canvas and I would tip and pour the paint and create effects like that, and build it up with more layers once those first layers had dried. Yeah, so you can work wet on wet into canvas or wet on wet into paper. Really a lot of fun. And then actually get your paints out once that's dry and you've got these beautiful washes over the canvas. You can do drawings, little delicate drawings over the top. Really beautiful as well. So many ideas. And these days, and I don't love this, I have to say, but I will let you know about it in case you didn't know about it. There are some manufacturers of art supplies who are making things I don't know whether they're going to factories and finding out what they're chucking out, but they're getting these little chopped up bits that you can put in, or you can get even sand, like quite a sandy sort of medium that you can put in, like quite a lot of texture. I like the ones that look more natural. I don't like the ones that look too plasticky. They look a bit crafty to me. And, I guess I'm a little bit of a painter's painter. I like painting and I like crafts too, but I don't think that they're the same thing. I hope I haven't polarized my audience too much by saying so. Okay, so there's a little bit about the acrylic styles. Lots of fun and lovely if you're traveling, because if you're working on watercolor papers or making an artist book or something, they're going to dry quickly. You can just really collect a lot of beautiful stuff together. And then a lot of great resource material that you can put together back in your studio when you get home. Okay, here's a really juicy one. Okay, my paint's dry. Can I bring my paint back to life? Okay, so the Atelier brand of acrylics have actually masterminded an acrylic medium that unlocks dry paint. So the answer is yes. As long as you rework it no later than up to 7 to 10 days after the paint is dry. So after 10 days, forget it, it's over, it's permanent. But if you can catch it out before that time, and you can still change your mind by using their special unlocking formula. Okay, so how it works is it needs to be used with their acrylic paint range. So you are a little bit stuck. You can't really deviate and use other brands in this instance. If you want to be able to unlock your paint, you have to buy their paints. They do use really good quality acrylics. I tried out their range. I bought a whole range of paints at one point, and I tried this and I found that actually I didn't really get into doing the unlocking too much. Once again, I'm pretty decisive, and if I don't like something, I just paint over it anyway. But I did love the idea. I was a little bit sort of seduced by the idea that you could unlock your paints. And I also had some conversations at the Grafton Arts Festival years ago where I was teaching. With a couple of other really well-established artists about it, one of whom loves to do acrylic paintings as well as watercolours. And he told me about what his experience of it was as well. So first of all, I will tell you a little bit about how it's used. So the formula is added to water in a spray bottle, and then the mixture is sprayed on the areas that you would like to reactivate. So my friend that I met, he liked to actually use it on his palette, not on the painting so much. So he'd be finished painting and the painting was complete. And he was a very decisive, spontaneous kind of painter, and he knew what he was doing. So he didn't need it on the painting, but he loved using it across the palette. He had a plastic palette that he used. He would have his different colours, his go-to colours, if you like. And he didn't like chucking the paint out, so he'd spray, when he wanted to paint, he'd spray his palette and bring it back to life, and off he'd go again. And he said that the thing that he liked about it was that the fact that the colours didn't come back with the same brilliance. He said to me the colours weren't as bright when you did reactivate the paint, but he actually liked that. He liked the fact that they were, came up as dirty tertiary colours, which are more muted and more dull, because that really worked for what he wanted to do with his washes. So that's how he used it. Try it out. If that's for you, try it out. That is the Atelier unlocking formula. If you look that up online, you can find it and get it sent out to you. Okay, another question is, how can I thicken my acrylic paint? Acrylic paint can be made to look like impasto, thickly applied oil by adding the impasto, and that comes in a jar. You'll need a palette knife to dig it out and fix your paint. The gel medium will give you the paintbrush texture that the oils have and add body and texture to the paint. That also comes in a jar. So the next one is, how can I remove acrylic paint? All right, so acrylic paint can get everywhere. I don't know too many neat painters. Acrylic paint can get on the floor, your clothes, in your car, and it can dry in your brushes. And that's pretty frustrating, especially if you've been carried away by your painting and you've left a couple of brushes on the table and you come back 40 minutes later and you go, whoops, they've now got rigor mortis, they're all stiff, and that brush cost me $25. Oh my gosh, what am I going to do? Well, don't panic, because I've got a few suggestions. First of all, for your brushes, I really like using the Chroma Incredible Brush Cleaner for getting dried acrylic paint off the brushes. It's so good. And for my clothes, I like to wear a really protective apron. Or I wear clothes that I don't care about too much, a t-shirt or, you know, a jumper that really it's not one that I would wear out to meet a friend for coffee or something. When I'm painting, it's about the painting and it's not about how I look, it's about how the painting looks. So I'm really not so fussed about being a glamour puss when I'm painting. When I present myself to do things, yes, I have to make a bit more of an effort, but otherwise, you know, I have clothes that I paint in and sometimes they've got a little glop of paint or colour or whatever. My aprons don't generally end up completely looking like they're artworks in themselves because I use my aprons to wipe my paintbrush on. Another thing you can do is if you find you've got a top that you really like wearing and you need to paint as well, just turn it inside out while you're painting, because that way if you get the paint on the inside, it's not as critical as if you got it on the outside, the side that you'd usually use. And although that sounds crazy, it really works and it's great. If I find that I've managed to get acrylic paint on the floor or on a chair or somewhere else that it shouldn't be, or on a door handle, I simply wet a tissue with the brush cleaner and I leave a part of the tissue on top of the paint for 20 minutes, a bit of water and a bit of the brush cleaner fluid, and I leave it on for about 20 minutes, and then it's really easy to get off with a little bit of a sponge or a very light scourer. Off it comes. I have to do that quite often because often I'm in a workshop space and I've got to leave it immaculately, and often my students are so into what they're doing that they're splattering paint and so on. So sometimes I've just got to go around and just check the space, and I'll use that incredible brush cleaner by Chroma. It's really great. Okay, so now we're on to our last question, which is, what is the difference between professional and student acrylic paint? Like, why should you pay more? What's the point? Like, you know, why should I hand over good money for colours that look like they're similar? Okay, acrylic paint prices vary a great deal. The most expensive artist acrylic colours will be in the professional ranges. And they utilise the best quality pigments, and these give the most brilliant and most impactful results. They also have colours and pigments that aren't available in the student range, because naturally, the student range is designed to be effective but affordable. So they're not going to give you the top shelf pigments in those paints. You can't compare a $6 tube of paint to a $32 or $33 tube of paint. Okay, there's going to be a difference. Of course, they're going to be doing different jobs. Even if they look a little bit similar. There is one area where probably the student acrylic paints are going to get similar results to the professional paints, and that's in the earth tones, because earth tones are not expensive to buy. I'm talking yellow ochre, burnt umber, raw umber, gold ochre, those kinds of colours. Although the professional ranges will do them better every time. But you're not going to suffer too much in your cheaper ranges. When I say cheap, I'd never go below like $6 a tube. I think, $2 tubes, they're going to be rubbish paint, seriously. They're going to be full of fillers. They're going to be weak in colour. And, Yeah, I wouldn't touch them. I mean, your time is the most expensive component, so make sure you've got something decent to work with. So when you buy a professional paint, it's generally listed in a series. So the earth tones being the cheapest will be series one. Series two will start to be things like Payne's Grey and other mixes that they've had to make specially. Series three will involve pigments that are more expensive, but give you probably the most joyful colours, things like permanent rose, sap green, quinacridone violet, I'm thinking the Winsor & Newton range, and so on. So I can't live without those colours. They're just really great and bring everything to life. Series four is going to be the more unusual pigments. And some of these pigments are man-made, such as perylene green, perylene violet. Perylene comes from industry. It's a colour that's, you know, made its way to artists, although it was developed for cars. And it's man-made, and it was made for car Juco because they didn't want the cars to experience solar fade. So they found, you know, they worked on something that was going to be really resilient to fading in the light. So, you know, it means that your beautiful dark green Jag is going to stay beautiful and dark green for years. So, yeah, they're really fantastic to work with. Perylene Violet is really beautiful. But, you know, it's not the end of the world if you can't afford those colours. I mentioned in podcast three I was going to give you a really wonderful free painting exercise. And yes, I'm going to do that because you can actually make colours that simulate those colours. They're not exactly the same. It's not the same pigment, but they're very much lookalikes. For example, to make a perylene violet, you just need a bit of black and a little bit of red, or, you know, probably a little bit of quinacridone violet, something like that. So I'm going to let you know about that colour exercise in a minute, just when we finish up here at the end of my acrylics presentation. So sometimes they, if they don't number them one to five, sometimes they'll number the professional ranges A to F, A for affordable, F for effing expensive. And you can tell the difference when you go to look at the student range because the names of those tubes of paint won't reflect the ingredients. So the names in the professional ranges are things like quinacridone violet, gold ochre. You know what they say on the label is what's inside the tube. And you can read on the back all the ingredients that they've combined to make that paint. There's nothing hidden. In a student paint, they don't really tell you what's in it, but they might say instead of cerulean blue, they might say cerulean blue hue. They might say, which is a lookalike. It means it's a synthetic simile. So they've tried to make something that's like cerulean blue and they got it as close as they could, but it's not made from cerulean pigment. You'll get lots of colours that are pre-made for you, like pale lemon yellow hue, flesh, peach, blush, pale pink, pale powder blue, pale greens. Really pretty colours, absolutely no doubt about it. But those colours don't rely on having loads of expensive pigment. There's a lot of white and also student paints have lots of fillers in them. So that's another way that you can tell them apart is the names are things like pale powder blue, or they've got the word hue in it, or they sound like they're a lipstick, or it might be a colour you'd see on if you're ordering a t-shirt online. It might, you know, pale olive or something like that. Doesn't really tell you anything about the pigment inside it. So yes, cheaper, but not necessarily nasty. I mean, I often use those pale colours to supplement what I have because it's just easier than mixing them sometimes, and especially if I'm trying to work and before my paint dries. And sometimes I can be juggling six or seven colours in the one area and it's just great. I don't have to clean my brush off and have to go and make it. There it is. So yeah, I think don't feel ashamed that you're shopping at the cheaper end of town, cheaper side of town, as well as more expensive. What I do is buy what you can, and as you can afford to, add a few professional paints if you can't afford them straight up. I like Reeves as a general student paint. I like, what else do I like? I quite like Montmartre, some of their colours. I don't like their white so much. I like the Winsor & Newton white and black. They're really great for working with. But you'll find out what you like, and the best way to find out is to try. So most colours can be made from 5 to 7 tubes of paint. They may not be the same pigments as what are commercially available, however, it's easy to mix hundreds of colours from a limited number of paint colours. And when you do that, you can save hundreds and hundreds of dollars. So to finish up, I'd like to give you a freebie. And that freebie, if you go to Bloom's Art School Online, my Facebook page, there is a link in there. Once you're in the page, put in the search button, free color mixing exercise. That link will come up from one of the posts. We had actually had a competition to make the best color fan. It's extraordinary what people came up with just from using a limited amount of colors, following my free art lesson, and they were absolutely overjoyed at what they could create. Hundreds and hundreds of colors, like really, you can pretty much match them and hold them up to the commercial paint tubes of paint and go, yep, I've just made that color. Yep, I've just made that color. Yep, I've just made that color. And on it goes. So it's pretty fabulous. So if you go there, if you go to Facebook, Bloom's Art School Online, Bloom's BLOOMS Art, ART School Online, and you'll be asked to answer some questions, and we let you in more quickly if you answer all of the questions and agree to the community rules. And then boom, you're in. Once you're in, just put it in the search bar, color mixing exercise. I think I'll ask my assistant to pin the entry to the top so you can find it easily as well. So yeah, you'll love it. It's really relaxing to do the exercise, and you'll learn a lot about paint handling, and I did promise I'd give it to you, so there it is. Thanks so much for joining me. I hope that's helped you out. It's really a great world to understand, and you know, it doesn't take a long time to feel like you're an artist. It's not that hard to become an artist. You just need the right information. So I hope this has been helpful for you. And I really love sharing all this stuff. And if you are interested, you can always check out what I teach. I tend to share in that Facebook page what we've got coming up. So you are welcome to join me and join in the conversation and meet other like-minded arty people and see what they're producing. It's a lot of fun. There's some great projects that we've run for free in there. Thanks for joining me. Okay. Love and Paintbrushes from Jacqueline Coates at Arts Creative Hub and Bloom's Art School Online, and we'll see you soon.